Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday teaching from Message Live. I do hope you've found this stuff from 1 John that we've been chugging through for the last couple of months encouraging. We've spent a long time on 1.5 chapters, and of course chapters aren't in the original letter. They're there to help us work our way through the letter, but for 1.5 chapters anyway, John's been speaking about light and darkness, truth and error, love and hatred, and basically how to spot them. His passion as he writes to these baby Christians in new churches right across Ephesus is that firstly, they'd be able to spot sound and false doctrine. They'd be able to know what that looks like. You know, the most important thing when you're looking for a local church to be a member of, sound doctrine, good teaching, people who love the Bible. And do you even know how to spot that? The most important thing isn't actually amazing worship, brilliant bands, great coffee, fantastic kids work, and Larry the Lion who comes out and leads all the kids into the kids work. The most important thing in a church is sound doctrine. Do they teach the right stuff? Do you even know how to spot that? Well, John is very desperate that you do. The second thing he wants us to learn from his letter to his early churches is how to fight sin. Basically, how to be more like Jesus. I often say to the Message guys, the most important thing you bring to the Message is not your amazing gifts, supreme talent, fantastic musical excellence, brilliant preaching, etc., etc., fantastic administration or accountancy. The most important thing you bring to the Message is your holiness, your desire to be holy, your desire to be more like Jesus. And the third thing, Paul's desperate that these Christians in across the Middle East learn, and of course 2,000 years later Christians around the world learn, is to love all the brothers and sisters. The true sign of Christian maturity is that you love your brothers and sisters. You love the ones who are easy to love, you love the ones who are a little bit more difficult to love. Imagine what a church or ministry would be like if we could smash those three things. If we knew what's sound and real, we knew what to go for in terms of doctrine, if we learned to fight sin and we lived holy lives and we loved the brothers, what an attractive church that would be. And that's why John is writing this letter, to get the early church to wake up. Then halfway through chapter 2, after all this stuff, he launches into a poem, or maybe even a song, to further illustrate it. It's a poem about maturity. Let me read it to you. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. It's a poem about maturity. Of course, mature things grow up. Healthy Christians grow up. Sure sign of maturity is that you're not the same. You're growing. Here's a picture of me as a little babba 60 years ago. I mean, I was a little bit of a chubby boy. I'm sorry about that. And I did like me dinners. In fact, I was able to scream for more food between each mouthful. I was able to go, wah, 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 wah. Now, that's okay for a baby called Andy Hawthorne. It's okay for that little fat chap to be utterly dependent, to be emotionally, physically, financially dependent. But there comes a time when Andy Hawthorne has to grow up, and every person, or else something very, very weird is happening, something unhealthy, something immature. And John is desperate that the Christians he's writing to grow up. And he writes to three stages in this poem of Christian growth. He writes to children, to young men, and fathers. Each stage of life, when you're a child, or you're a youth, or you're an adult, looks different. And he has a specific word to bring to each of these people as they grow up in the Lord. Basically, we must grow up in our ability to spot sound doctrine, to fight sin, and to love people, or else something's desperately wrong with us, and we'll be desperately wrong with the church. Have you grown up? Have I grown up in those areas? The Bible suggests there are three stages of spiritual maturity. Paul and Peter talking about encouraging the brand new Christians to feed on the milk of the word. You know, little babbers who feed on their mother's milk. Mother's milk is amazing stuff, isn't it? Incredible that when a baby's born into the world, a mother produces special milk with special nutrients and special little bits of laxative to get him going and all kinds of protection around his organs or her organs just as she grows up into the world. And then miraculously, after a few days, the milk changes. It's full of different nutrients, exactly what that baby needs. It's fantastic. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It's a God thing. But if that little baby continues just to drink milk for the rest of its life, especially its mother's milk, how weird would that be? How wrong would that be? There's a time when we need to grow up. John, in his gospel, called Jesus the bread of life. And Paul spoke of mature Christians who long for the meat of the word. I mean, do we even know what it is? What are the deep things of God? What's the meat of the word the Lord wants us to get into? In the parable of the sower, that in some ways is the key to understanding all the parables of Jesus. Because in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus said, if you understand this parable, then you'll understand all parables. In the parable of the sower, Jesus seems to suggest that even for the mature believers, you know, the people who have a good and a noble heart, who persevere, who keep going when others would give up, who have a heart for the right stuff, there are different levels. There are three stages of maturity. Jesus seems to suggest there's a 30, a 60, even a 100-fold, all crazy breakthrough, supernatural, miraculous harvest. But there are next levels. Basically, there's always more in the Christian life. There's always more maturity, always more to grow into. And I don't know about you, but if there is a 100-fold harvest, however amazing that is, I want it. I want to see that. I want to see the biggest bumper harvest for the glory of Jesus. So John tells us about these three stages of the spiritual journey, and he suggests, guys, it's time to grow up. It's okay to be children for a bit. It's okay to be young adults for a bit, but some of us need to wake up and get a little bit more mature. And it's not got to do with whether you've been a Christian for decades or months or years. It's to do with a heart and a passion and a determination to grow up in the Lord. So in verse 12 and verse 14, he starts writing to dear children. He says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And then he says, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. The basic thing, the elementary thing of the Christian faith is your sins are forgiven because of his name. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. There's only one name by which you can be saved. It's the name Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man who left heaven and came to earth. Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, is the only name that can save. You can't be saved anywhere else. Well, we know that, but that's basic 101 Christianity. As a result of that, as a result of that salvation, you will know the Father. You will cry, Abba, Daddy, he says in the Bible. You'll have this heart towards your Father. You've been saved, you've been forgiven, your relationship to Father God's been restored, and you'll cry out, Father. It's a basic child thing. I was in Israel, in Jerusalem, and I remember being really touched by some little kid running down the street going, Abba, 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 towards his dad, Daddy. And I thought, how flipping awesome that Jesus said, at a time when Jewish people considered the name of God to be so holy, it couldn't even be spoken. The name Yahweh was a name too holy to even pass the lips of a religious Jew. And yet Jesus said, when you pray, say Abba, pray Daddy. We know it, but let's get into the full and amazing glory of it. Two things that make life worth living, basically, as a brand new Christian are, you know you're forgiven You know the Father. Two things, actually, much as it's basic stuff that we'll spend the whole of eternity enjoying. The fact that we're made in a right relationship with God and we're in the presence of the Father. How awesome will that be? And then John moves on to his word for young people. In verse 13 and verse 15, he says, I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil men. I'm writing to you young men because you're strong and the word of God lives in you. And again, you've overcome the evil one. Basically, two things he says about young people that you need to be gunning for is one, overcoming the evil one. Two, the word of God living in you. How amazing it would be. You know, I rejoice here with the message that we have one of the youngest charities around. When we won Charity of the Year, I was thrilled to look at the average ages of all the other charities who were in the top 100. And like ours, our young staff were like 15 years younger than most charities. Like 27 was our average. Our average age is young adults, young men and women, fiery young men and women who love Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if it could be said of them and young men and women across the church that you've overcome the evil one. You love the word. And I said a couple of weeks ago that it's gutting to think there's so few young adults in the church read the word of God every day. Devastating that only 13% of young adults in the church in the States read the Bible every week, never mind every day. I mean, is it any wonder that they're all over the place in terms of doctrine and practice? Well, that's not for you, young men and women. You're someone that God wants to overcome the evil one and grow up in his word. If you want to be a future leader, of course, Satan is out to get you. You put a target on your back saying, I'm going to be involved in the mission of God. But if you want to overcome the evil one, you know what you need to do? Get into the word of God. Listen to this. Your whole destiny is almost certainly wrapped up in how serious you take the word of God. Wow. Let me say that again. Your whole destiny is almost certainly wrapped up in how seriously you take the word of God, in how adept you are at wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, Paul speaking about the word, the Bible, says it's useful. It's useful to teach you, to train you, to rebuke you, to correct you, so that you can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Young man or women, God has got good works for you to do, planned in advance. This is the book, the word of God, that equips you for those good works. You've got the good works. They're laid out for you, but you're not going to find the good works without getting into the good word first. Okay, you've grown up. You got the keys to the door of the spiritual life. You've overcome the evil one. You've got into the word of God. You've been in it long enough to know that life, godliness, peace, joy, breakthrough in every circumstance are wrapped up in what? Knowing him. Look what he says to the fathers, same verse twice. He says, I write to you fathers because you know him. You know him who's from the beginning. I write to you fathers because you know him who's from the beginning. He writes to a mature person, someone who knows the Lord. John was a man who knew the Lord. He'd been Jesus' best mate while he was on the earth, one of the inner circle of three. He called himself, when he was reflecting on his life, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as an old man, his letters just ooze love for Jesus, knowledge of the Lord. He'd been a man who was utterly transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He could say in his gospel, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and they know Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That's eternal life. That's how the kingdom breaks into this life, through people who know the Lord and know Jesus as their friend and their savior. What an adventure that is, to get to know the Lord more and more, to grow in knowledge and understanding of just how beautiful and amazing and how powerful and how kind and gracious and loving. People who commit themselves to prayer, not just, you know, pitching, here's my latest request, but a walk with the Lord. People who commit themselves to the word, the bits they like, the bits they don't like. People who commit themselves to Christian community and the mission of the church, to the poor and the last and the least least and the lost. Guess what? As you do that, as you make that the priority of your life, you get to know him. How amazing is that? So how are we doing? How are we doing, friends, in terms of growing in the Lord? Are you growing, or did you feel a little bit of conviction? I've got a bit stuck. Are you still like a little baba, crying every time something doesn't go your way, having your own little pity party? Or are you young in the faith, you know, sensing a constant battle with the enemy? Two steps forward, one step back. You never really devote yourself to the word. Or are you that mature person, grown up in the faith, somebody who knows the Lord? We know him. We want to know him more. And the amazing thing with the Lord, of course, is there's always a next step in knowing him. And the next step from knowing him, of course, is making him known. We're people who want to make him known because we know how amazing he is. We can't keep quiet about our Lord, because as far as we are concerned, we know him and we know he's fabulous. Have you ever met some tedious person who's utterly fallen in love? You know, proper head over heels in love. Guess what? They can talk about virtually nothing else. Wouldn't it be amazing if some believers were a bit more like that? We know the Lord, we know how amazing he is, and we want to grow up in. And we don't have a boring diet, you know, a diet of just like, yes, we listen to Hillsong worship songs, we jump up and down in our room, we go to church once a week, but we have a daily diet, a growing diet. I read about this guy. I don't know what you think about this. He's called Gary Watkinson, and his entire diet is baked beans. All he eats, breakfast, dinner, and tea, are baked beans. Not any old baked beans, Branston baked beans. And Gary Watkinson, the sad man that he is, the smelly man I'm sure that he is, all he eats is baked beans. There's this vast array of unbelievable foods out there. You know, banquets he could be enjoying. He could have anything he wanted to eat, and yet he chooses breakfast, lunch, dinner to eat baked beans. And you know what they said about Gary when they studied his body? Because, you know, he's a bit of a phenomenon, this guy. He's a bit of a weirdo, to be honest. But they studied him, and actually, they found right now he looks okay. He seems quite healthy. But they said he is most certainly setting himself up for problems in later life. He's setting himself up for weak bones and all kinds of health issues because he's got this limited diet. He's not really grown up in how he feeds himself. You know, they took a blood sample, it came back healthy. I was fine. I was 11 stone. And yet people say, you watch out, because in the future, you'll need more vitamins, more minerals, trace elements to avoid the ills that will be fall you shortly. Your bones will become brittle. You'll catch more colds and flu. Yes, and you probably wouldn't stand downwind of him. You know, the truth about Gary Watkinson is he looks fine now, but in the future, he's going to come a cropper if he doesn't wake up that there's a better diet than just baked beans. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But Christian, there's a better diet than just going to a church and being fed by your pastor, much as that can be great. There's a better diet than just putting the worship tape on while you're in the shower in the morning. There's somebody who's hungry for the word of God, somebody who's determined to fight sin, somebody who's in beautiful, accountable relationships, not just going to your house group as a matter of duty, but getting friends around you, spur you on in the Lord. There's the diet of going on the mission of God to know him and make him known. It sounds amazing, doesn't it? It is amazing. And it's for you, friend. Let's do this thing. Let's grow up in the Lord. If there's any area right now where the Holy Spirit's convicting you, and he is, because he loves to. He's for us. But he loves to show us if there's any area where we need to get more in line so we can grow stronger in the Lord. And there's always more in the Lord. I'd love to just pray as we bring this thing into land that'll happen in your life. That you'll see where you stand. Have you been fixed on milk of the word? Or maybe you're getting a bit more into the bread, but you want the meat. You want the meat. There's so much more to be had in the Lord, so much more to feed on in Jesus, so much more maturity for us, so we can stand strong against anything that life throws at us. Lord, I pray that you will fill us You'll equip us to be strong men and women of God, no matter how long we've been a Christian or how short, that we'll be people who grow up fast, grow up strong. We'll have faces like flint set aside for you, set apart for you, going hard after your target, after the least and the last and the lost, chasing hard after knowing you and making you known. I pray that in Jesus' name. And before I finish, I'd love to pray. Last week was our Love Withenshaw week here in Manchester. I'm sure many of you weren't able to engage in it, but many of you did. What a precious thing to see an estate just experiencing the love of Jesus in word and deeds. We're praying for every street in Withenshaw over the next couple of years. This fast housing estate, 110,000 people. Last week, there were over 60 projects and people hearing the love of Jesus and encountering him for the first time. What a precious thing. I pray, Lord, for the fruit from Love Withenshaw. Yes, people are fed physically. I pray they'll be fed spiritually. As waste grounds are made to look so much better, I pray wasted lives will be turned around for you. I pray as the projects are done across Withenshaw, the greatest move will be a move of your spirit. You'll save many, many. You'll set that estate on fire. Let it be a model of, yeah, we pray revival, Lord, right here in the north of England. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So thanks for listening again this morning. I hope it's been helpful. I really hope you'll log on to more Message Live stuff. Stuff's going out here from Manchester pretty much every day of the week. It's all on our Facebook and on our YouTube channel. Log in, be a friend, subscribe, share. That would really help us. Do everything you can to spread the word about Message Live and all the cool things that are happening here in Manchester and across the world. God bless you guys. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. There's a brand new episode there right now.